go back and listen if you can, if you have time. I've been speaking on spiritual disciplines, which I'm not going to do this morning. And I was going to do 6 messages on spiritual disciplines. I've already done 6, and I may be halfway through. I took a long time on community because I learned a lot from that. Actually, I was really, like I said, the gospel offends every culture, and it obviously offends, including American culture. And so I found some of my individualistic tendencies really offended by the lifestyle of Jesus. And sometimes we look at Jesus' teachings and we develop theology. I love theology, it's good. Or we look at his ethics and we know do's and don'ts. And that's good as well. But when you read the Gospels and you read it as a biography, and we actually see how Jesus lived his life. And so I'm going to model, if I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus, if I'm going to be an apprentice of Jesus, I'm going to look how he lived his life and model my life after his. And sometimes, I've seen for me, things are off kilter for me. They're not going well. Well, maybe there's an adjustment I need to make. Maybe I should look to my King Jesus, because he was truly God, but he was also truly man. And he lived and he walked and he lived in such a way. And Jesus lived in community. And so we've gone through those. And spiritual disciplines are practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth. I've enjoyed it very, very, very much. There's other men and women of God who've shared far more on that for far longer than I have. But I will say, if you have the chance to go back and listen, I don't often encourage that. But the last 2 weeks, I would encourage you to listen if you can, because some of those things we're going to implement. It's shifted, actually, the way I've even was talking to someone this week. It's shifted even my mindset pastoring and just being with people as a whole, actually. So that's a good thing. But this morning I want to talk. It's Mother's Day. I'm not going to share for long, as I've told you. But I do want to continue something I shared last week and on along the lines of mothers. And Michael, I don't know if we had enough this morning, my brother, but I do appreciate Michael passed out for me and encouraged me. And Marjorie, late Marjorie, Maza did this as well to give you verses and a title, and so I've been doing that, and so I didn't fit all the verses on, but there's some verses on there because apparently I moved through the verses pretty quickly, which I think I know I do, and so I apologize for that. So those, if you're interested, you can go home and read those verses and chew and meditate on those. But so the first passage is Exodus 20:12. It's the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, you'll see the Ten Commandments. And it's, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. There's other commands in Scripture to honor mother and father. To listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Matthew 5:14, Jesus criticized the Pharisees. He says, for God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles his father and mother shall surely die. And that's when he criticized and came against the Pharisees, because they were saying, whatever you give to me is dedicated to the temple rather than to your parents. And in Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. My son's over there. So, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And Jesus lived a lifestyle of this as well in Luke chapter 2:51, when he was just a boy. It says, he went down with them and he came to Nazareth and he was submissive to them. He was submissive to his parents. And then in John 19:26, as he stood on the cross, as he hung on the cross, I should say, it says, when Jesus saw his mother and disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. So Jesus was even concerned with his natural mother as he stood on, as he hung on the cross. Take care of her, and we're gone. And so I do know this Mother's Day, I've had a couple individuals just lose their natural mothers here. We have some who are, even this past year as a whole, we have some, you know, Jenny Gadboys is home watching her mother. These are all biblical commands. Mike Battle, his mom, they're watching her. My mom is my grandmother's. My mom, I may get to see her again in a couple of months, but My mom goes multiple times a week to care for her mother. And so honoring your mother is entailed in different ways, which I'm going to get into briefly. Before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about what honor is. When I was in, we used to have a mall in my hometown. You remember those things. Not so many of them anymore. So if you have some spare time and you're bored, you can go on YouTube and put Wilson, North Carolina Mall. And there's all these people come in with like these abandoned buildings. They go in there and they shoot all these videos. And I've watched one of them and it's like, oh, I remember. I did all my elementary school concerts there and all that fun stuff. But I'll never forget, and forgive me in advance for what I'm going to say, but it's what this individual said. I was probably 13 years old and I was walking in the mall and there's a mom with a little 1 or 2 year old and she was teaching her kid to say F you to people. Say after me and do this, and it just, all these years later, it stunned me. I was listening to a man, John Tyson, who pastors a church in New York City. He said he was on the subway and a mother shared something to her son and you know, do this, and the kid looked up at her and said that phrase to her, and said everyone on the subway just kind of picked themselves up from their phones and kind of looked, and said the mother hung her head in shame. I'm watching the decay of Western civilization right there. And that is the definition of dishonor, and it's unfortunately, it permeates our society. We live in a lot of respects in a society of dishonor and contempt. And as believers, we're called to live very, very differently. And in Romans chapter 12, it says this, chapter 12, verse 9 through 16. And if you know Romans, Paul takes the first part and goes through theology. Then he really lays out practical ways of living a Christian life. And it says this. So this is Paul's vision of a community in love. And it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And honor, giving preference to one another. Another translation would say this. It says, outdo each other in giving honor. So I would say the competition we should have in church shouldn't be from church to church or from gift to gift or anointing to anointing. It should be who shows the most honor. According to Scripture, outdo one another in showing honor. And honor is a word, it's not contempt, which is what we see often. Contempt is when you hold yourself in your mind in a higher regard for someone and you lower someone's status in your mind and your heart. You make a caricature of them and you say, I'm glad like the Pharisees, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. We see that across the spectrum today. Should not be so in the church. Sometimes we do that in the church. I don't mean us here, but in the church at large. And so honor is a word that means tome, and it's translated as value or a price. So when someone of value or status comes to our community to deposit something, that's we give them. So when Scott Tavolacci comes in a couple months, we have what's called an honorarium that's given to him. That's a word which means it's a financial, it's a tangible gift. So honor is not just a noun, it's actually something we do. So it's a tangible gift to show honor and appreciation for what Pastor Scott's depositing into our community. And so it's recognizing something. And it's John MacArthur had a great... honor assigns value to someone or something. It's not fluff. It's not dishonoring God while I honor someone else. It's recognizing the value of what God's done inside of a person and honoring that within them. John MacArthur, me and him would disagree on a lot of things, but I respect him tremendously, pastor. And he said this, to honor, this is such a good definition of it, to honor is not to flatter or to give hypocritical compliments in the hope of having the compliment returned or gaining favor with the one honored. Again, the very opposite is in mind. To honor is to show genuine appreciation and admiration for one another in the family of God. We're quick to show respect, quick to acknowledge the accomplishments of others, quick to show genuine love by not being jealous or envious, which have no part in love. And that's so good. It's not recognizing someone for a celebrity status. And I also want to say this, honor is a personal choice. So God is glorious, right? but we have the choice to honor Him. So God's glory is not affected by whether or not we honor Him or not. God's glory is the implicit value that He has, but honor is the value that we assign to Him. So I have a choice. God is, whether I acknowledge Him or not. And I'll say this too, when you say for your mothers, for individuals in the church, you know, Andrea has her gifts and anointings. Whether I choose to honor that is my choice or not. But I can honor who God's called her to be and destined and made her to be. That's what honor is. And there's several different definitions, and honor is real throughout Scripture. John Tyson said that honor is the currency in the kingdom of God, or it's the operating system of the kingdom of God. I want to give you a couple of very quick, as much as I can help, definitions to show you we're honored, because it's riddled throughout Scripture. And I want to give some present-day applications, then I'm going to talk about mothers briefly. But in 1 Peter 3 through 7, it says to give honor to your spouse, give honor to one another. It also says if you dishonor your spouse or if you're not in agreement, that your prayers can be hindered. Let me actually read that to you so I don't misquote it. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding, speaking of your wife, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. And let me just stop you real quick right there. I need to take, Diane, you told me one time I should speak on women in the kingdom of God, and I need to, because I believe it's something I feel strongly about. In that time, that the readers would have done a double take on that, because women were not assigned a status at all. So when we would give honor to a woman, that was countercultural when he wrote that, because they didn't do that. So give honor to your wife, okay? To the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. I'm not the only heir. Andrew and I were heirs together in the grace of life. We're joint, we're a team. Okay? That your prayers may not be hindered. So biblically, my prayers can be hindered when I dishonor my spouse. If I dishonor my wife today on Mother's Day, and I come to church again, the group takes precedence over the individual. I dishonor her, I treat her with contempt, don't respect her for who she is, and I come, oh God, my prayers are going to be hindered. Why aren't you answering my prayer? Well, you need to take care of business at home. You dishonored your spouse. It's biblical, okay? Honor your spouse. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it talks about slaves honoring their masters. Once again, we think of that as Americans, and that's not a race-based thing, the sin of racism we had in our country and slavery. That was more a Mediterranean system of indentured servanthood. So we can call it today in our world, your boss, your work. Do we honor our bosses? Do we honor our people over us at work? Sometimes I've shared with you my stories about that. Sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes it's just praying. And I did a conscious effort when I had my other job to, on occasion, is just to, she didn't always like it. Or maybe she did, but she acted funny. But if you're doing a good job, you're good at this. You're doing this. When I left my last day at my job, I wrote her an email that was very, very, very honoring to her. That's who I am as a son of God. I honor her for her position, who she did, what she was. And she texted me and said, you made me cry. That's what we should do with our position with our jobs and our bosses. Sometimes that's really hard, though, because I've had those as well. In Romans chapter 13, it says this. These could all be sermons in and of themselves. I'm just giving you, just show you where this is all throughout Scripture. And it says this, we know this, Romans 13, let every soul be subject to governing authorities. I've spoken on that here. It doesn't mean you obey every jot and tittle when they violate Scripture. But it does mean that we show honor. Because it says in verse 6, for because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. It means we honor leaders in government. And I want to say this too, as a church, I don't believe any of us have this problem, but I've seen, just to be candid with you, and I remember when President Obama, I saw tremendous dishonor he would get from people. It bothered me, really bothered me. And I saw President Trump, and I saw people calling him, instead of President Trump, they would say 45. Tremendous dishonor. It's not honoring the office, even if you honor the man. And I see even none of you, but Christians today, calling President Biden the man in the Oval Office. It's a tremendous dishonor. Whether you vote for someone or not, I want to say this. Paul wrote this under Nero, who was dipping Christians in oil and lighting the pathway to his house with Christians. And his position as a son of God was to honor to whom honor is due. So one of the breakdowns I've seen in the culture we have is when leaders are... Listen, I was talking to Mike Battle a couple weeks ago. I said, I didn't vote for our governor here in Connecticut. I didn't vote for Governor Lamont. I'll pray for him and I'll give him honor and show dignity. We spoke well of him on a certain thing. Doesn't mean you don't critique. It doesn't mean you don't have a conscious objection to things that aren't right. But it does mean you don't call a president 45 or the man in the Oval Office. As believers, we're called to a higher standard. If Paul could honor Nero, who was just honestly just demon-possessed in everything he did, study Nero and think, and then complain about our leaders, you know? So honor should be shown there. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 18, it says, honor those and know those who labor among you. And it says, elders should be worthy of double honor. I won't talk long about it because that talks about leadership in the church. And I'll let someone else do that. Here's what I'll do for myself, because I have a pastor who's my pastor throughout my childhood. And he's retired, but to me, he's still my pastor. And his name is Eric Burnelson. I've called him past couple months a couple times for advice. And I don't get on the phone and say, hey, Eric, how are you, man? I say, Pastor Burnelson, glad to see you. I honor who he is and who he's been in my life. I reach out for it. But even if I take it or not, I show him honor because he's worthy of double honor, Scripture says. I was reading a book, and there's a minister I know in the area, and he writes books, and he was sharing about how his man who brought him up in the faith, Pastor so-and-so, I don't remember his name, but he said he decided every book he wrote, he gives a percentage and a portion of the money from the book, you know this man, to his pastor. He said, I've lost a lot of contact with him, but I honor what he was in my life, who he was in my life. That's just important. I'm not going to speak much about that. It's something I believe in strongly. But that's not just in the body of Christ. That's not just for elders. That's also for the body as a whole. There's a passage I love in 1 Corinthians 12. And it says this, verse 23. It says, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. So in any fellowship, in any setting, in any body. You know, we have someone here, and she won't mind, Liz Theodore. She's at home taking care of her husband and working. The only thing she can come to is ladies' meetings. But she's here every week in my office doing the books. And we don't see her. We can just see her. Oh, okay, who's this? But if she were to decide to pack up and move, we'd be hurting. We don't see her, but on these members we bestow greater honor. There's a man in my home church. We called him Lazarus because he should have died so many times, and God just restored this man. He was Lazarus. And if you would talk to him, he would, you know, there's some stuttering issues. He's not going to be the guy that comes up front and does anything. But man, if you took him out of that church, people would feel it. Yeah. And it was C.S. Lewis who said that, he says, there's no ordinary people. There's no such thing as mere mortal. And if we look at everyone as someone who's breathed in and designed by God, with character. I was so much on the group the last 2 weeks. Well, now I'm bringing it back to the individual who's God's breathed in Andrea. She's put this, and I see this is not just some mere mortal, but her spirit will live forever. Mm-hmm. It's not just someone to throw away and to disregard. This is someone to hold in esteem. I think if we had a John, if Mac Jones came in here, your new quarterback, like, oh, Mac Jones is here, you know? And I say, you know, it's just a... What if we treated everyone? Mary Fox is here. Yeah. Wow. You know? Not just a mere mortal, someone who's designed and breathed in by God. It's just a way to kind of shift our minds so I can treat people with honor. It's not just, oh, okay, yeah. But no, it's value we assign to her from the Christ in her. It doesn't mean she's God. It just means God is God, but I recognize what God's done in her life and who she is and her contributions to our community. So that's for leaders, it's also for everyone. It's for the whole gamut. We're all to honor each other. In 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, honor God with your body, you're purchased with a price. You're bought with a price, you're not your own. And doesn't that go against such the grain? Let me say this, read it to you. 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify or honor God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. And that just goes against the face of culture. When it's my body and it's my choice, I can do what you want. The whole context of this is sexual immorality anyways. You say, no, you know, in the kingdom of God, you're bought with a price. And your body is not your own. And I know we've unfortunately used things and we've made, you know, abortion to a social justice issue. It's a kingdom of God issue, in my opinion. We cherish the life, all life, from the womb, from conception to the tomb. But your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. Doesn't that stark against the hyper-individualistic culture we have today? Where it's me and I can do what I want with myself. No, I was bought with a price. I'll never give birth, thank the Lord. Thank your moms for that. I remember being in the room with anything. I remember being in the room with her. And so, you know, but there's other ways that I honor my body and I treat it because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, and Proverbs 3:19, let me just go through these because it's I want to get to moms and go through this in 10 minutes. I'm going to let you go. But honor, it's a currency. It's throughout the scripture. When I see a society that's so dishonoring of everyone, where I'm teaching my kid to say this to their moms, and then someone says this to their mother, and they do this and they do that. That's really, the kingdom of God is countercultural to that. Showing honor is countercultural to what we see really in American society. I think they do better with this in other areas, but here in America, in the West, it's an area where the church, we have to lead. And we have to, you know, show a different way. So when it relates to our mothers, and again, I recognize, you know, some natural mothers aren't with us anymore. Some of them are. But you know a mother, I'll even say you can have spiritual mothers, because I do believe in that. Paul, when he spoke to the Thessalonians, he talked about how he would come to them both as a mother and as a father. And there's different even ways to work with people. God gave a mother and a father for purpose, a unique purpose. You know, Andrew and I will interact and even discipline and encourage our kids in different ways. And that's healthy. That's how God designed it. But it says, honor your father and mother in Exodus not obey, but to honor. In Ephesians, Paul links obedience, which I've already read, with obedience, with honoring. Because as a kid, you know, your way you honor your parent is to obey. And so outside of Owen, again, the way we show respect and honor as a child is we obey our parents. As you get older, that changes. And, you know, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, Scripture says. And so there's times when I grow up and I'm independent and I'm growing up, but I still show honor. That situation of honor never leaves. And I do know that sometimes, which I'm going to talk about a little bit in a bit, sometimes that's easier for others, for some than for others. Especially on Father's Day, I've learned. And, you know, that's something we work with, but the commands of honor is still there. And I'm going to give a little bit of some tips on that and just some honor advice from the scriptures. First thing we can do is speak well of them. I found this week that the Old Testament gave the same penalty for cursing parents as assaulting them in Exodus 21 and Leviticus 20. And much of how we show honor to people is by how we speak to them. I can really show contempt to people by how I speak, and I can show honor by the way I speak to people. And some of you know this very well, but in Hebrews it says the worlds were framed by the word of God. And our words are very powerful. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And with our words, I can crush somebody. I can raise them up. I can tear them apart. I can empower them with our words. James is great about that. Tongue is a deadly poison, he calls it. With it we bless the God and Father and curse man who's been made in the likeness of God. Have the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. These things should not be. So how we speak to people and how we speak of our parents is very good. There's a study that was done. It was two different leadership types. And this was in a corporate setting. but it was multipliers and diminishers. And a diminisher was the type of leader which I've had before, where they show contempt. They come in, we know everything, your opinions aren't valued. And I've had people like that, and they talk to you, bosses at my secular jobs, and they talk to you, you just agree so you don't lose your job. They make you feel like an idiot. And they did a study on that, and people who worked under those bosses, this is a secular study, their IQ points would drop 20 points from working in that environment. That's a secular validation of Scripture. Our words are powerful. Then they had empower, or multipliers or empowers, and those who would speak. And you know, when you work for someone and they encourage you, it makes you want to jump through hoops and hurdles to do good. And you start to, hey, I've got this. I've had jobs before where I feel like I've got a hang of this. And the diminisher comes in, I feel like I don't know anything anymore. And that's, we want to make sure that we're not that we speak well, and that we can, you know, look at Jesus with his disciples. And he saw Peter, who was a fisherman, and he saw something else in them. He said, now you're a fisher of men. I'm going to take you from what man sees, just a blue collar, this. And I'm saying, you're actually a fisher of men. He speaks that and works with them over 3 years to where Peter's willing to give his life because the words that he speaks to them we can honor. We can speak well of our parents, of our moms, whether they're here with us, whether they're not, whether we're with them in person. We can call forth those things that are within them. I do that with my kids. If they make a mistake, that's not who you are. You're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. If it builds their identity. And we have the ability and the power to do that even with their moms. So one thing we do to practically honor our moms, we speak well of them. We seek their wisdom, which I talked some about a little bit about earlier, like I do with my pastor. We listen to them. Everyone's swift to hear and slow to speak. Even if you don't take their advice, ask them. I do that with my mom when it comes to kids. Hey, mom, I've got this going on. What is your opinion? I'm honoring her. Why? Because she's lived in that realm where I haven't done it before. One of the greatest follies in the scripture is Rehoboam, who's Solomon's son. His outstanding characteristic was that he forsook the counsel of his elders. And he made a mess of things. So I would say even if your parents are aging, they're older, for me, I still want your wisdom. Whatever I do with that's my thing, but I want your wisdom. We support them and we provide for them. I read a stat I'm going to read to you. Give me about 5 more minutes and I'll be done. In 1880, 3.6% of the people in America were 65 or over. We went to a graveyard near our home when my parents were here, and it was amazing the ages people lived to in the 1800s, 1700s were very short. We saw an occasional one like in the 80s. It's like, wow, what did they do? By 1940, it had risen to 6%. In the year 2000, 12.4% were over 65. In 2010, 13% were over 65. Projected in 2020, so this was a little bit older, 17% will be over 65. And by 2050, they're projecting that 24% will be over 65. One of the most practical scriptural ways to honor your parents is to provide for them. And I see that with a lot of the people in here, which I so appreciate. And it's biblical. Let me read a couple of passages, scriptures to you in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says this, but if any widow, these are practical exhortations Paul is giving to Timothy as Timothy pastors his church. It's a pastoral epistle. He tells him, he says, if any widow has children or grandchildren at home, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. It's biblical. For this is good and acceptable for God. Paul also writes in Corinthians that when the kids are young, that the parents should store up for the kids, not the other way around. Owen doesn't provide for me. If I ask for him to get a job to take care of me, that's backwards. But when I get older, like my mom, for example, do a lot for her mom because the situation's changed. It's biblical. And it says this in verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's strong. Okay? So, we do this well, but for those of you who've done that and are doing that, that's very, very biblical, and that's godly. Provide, he says, if you don't provide for them in your own household, you're worse than an infidel. But again, he's putting practical applications to, it's not just me and God, it's also me and God and others. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. It's linked together, practically speaking, by how I honor my parents. So my parents are not at that place. When they come to that place, if I don't step up and provide how I can and help how I can, if anything, I shouldn't be in a pulpit anywhere doing this. Because to me, it's a violation. It's how you honor your parents. And I want to end with this. Well, I'm going to give an activation at the end, but I want to end with this. I have heard this, and usually, again, it's more for fathers than mothers, I've learned. But nonetheless, I'll do the best I can. Does honor extend to someone who says, well, you didn't know my mom. My mom was this. My mom was that. My mom this. My mom. And there's, the older we all get, the more we talk to people, you know, the more stories that we hear, and the more situations we encounter, and some of that may be you. And so I was blessed. Transparency, I had a great mom and dad, so I didn't, you know, go through some things other people go through. So when I share what I'm going to share, I do it really, it's not as authoritative as it would be as if I'd walked through it, and I'm aware of that. But sometimes these things happen, and the command, just like for Paul with Nero, who's lighting Christians ablaze, was still to honor. And sometimes there's an honor that goes, you know, John Maxwell, who does leadership training, some of you probably heard John Maxwell, he has 5 stages of leadership. And the very first one is positional. So, you know, new day, I had a job one time where I walked in, I'll never forget, because I walked in, position that I had, and this is Clay, so-and-so. He's kind of look at me. And I knew then, I'm not really running this shop at all. They are. It's positional. And sometimes even with your parents, to actually be a leader or a mother or a father, that takes time, it takes relationship, it takes effort. Some people never have that. So my exhortation to anyone who's here or watches later in the week, even if the only honor you can give is positional honor, that's biblical. Mm-hmm. Even if the only honor you can give is by not dishonoring them, mm-hmm. and just saying, you know, God, you gave this person to me as your mother or father in some cases, and I trust that your judgments are faithful and true, mm-hmm. and I honor this person was my parent. Even if that's all you can do, mm-hmm. that's still honor. Yes. Even if it's just a positional, they were positional. I mean, I've spoken to people who never knew their parents. And I know you have too. And, you know, so maybe that's some of you, you know. And so, Lord, you gave this person to me. And so before you, I honor that they were my parents. And if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. There's a difference between honor and obedience, between the person and the position, even between the relationship and the position and the person. And so, I know that's tough, but I want to encourage for some of us here, if that is you, to maybe, you know, find a place with the Lord today and say, Father, I honor the fact that you gave me this person, and I'm not going to dishonor them. And I've seen someone actually before who had a parent issue, and the way they dealt with it was just a dishonor. And actually, someone who's more mature gently tugged them in the right direction. They said, all you're actually doing is just dishonoring and dishonoring and dishonoring. If you can't honor, then just pull back the dishonor. Yeah. And just say, hey, you know what? The way I'm honoring is by not dishonoring. Yeah. And sometimes that happens. So, mothers, we honor you. Give honor to whom honor is due. Honor is hard. It's countercultural. And just as a practical thing to take home with you, because honor extends in many different directions. And I have to do it for myself too. So Lord, where do I need to repent this week? If you're doing a spiritual discipline of silence and solitude, Lord, where do I need to repent? And find one, even just one person a week, if you come in here and you just honor them. You don't have to gush over them. It's not brown-nosing them. But I so appreciate what I see God doing in you here, what God doing in you there. And it reshapes and renews and reforms your mind to live practically according to the Scriptures. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for all of our mothers.